is the great Love McPherson on WGN. Hello, Love.
Hello, how are you?
So when you see your friends on the street, they say, hey, Love, how you doing? That's you.
And sometimes when I'm with strangers, they're like, okay, Love. And I'm like, well, that really is my name, but okay, yes.
Now, come on, that can't really. But so when you popped out, your mom said, I love her. She's Love. I mean, how did that, is that, that can't be your real name.
Oh, no, no, that really is my real name. And my parents loved talking about it. My mom would say, James, tell Love how she got her name. And back in the day, you know, men didn't stay in the room when the woman was delivering. So he kissed her, left. He came back and said, what did you name the baby? And she said, I named her Mylan because Miriam Mylan Melanie, that's my mother's name was Mary. And she says, I named her Love because of my love for you. My mother, aww. I was the sixth of eight children. She had difficult pregnancies, but my dad, they were married for 62 years, was always so present for her and nurturing to her. So I am, his love child. So that's me. That's my real name. And nobody ever called me Mylan.
And it turns out you do the right thing for a living then. A relationship expert, certified marriage and family counselor. And you speak all over the country about love, which isn't a bad gig.
I was born for this.
Quite literally. All right. So a very famous person once told me that you have to love yourself before you can possibly love someone else. True or not?
Yes. Oh, that is absolutely true. You literally must love yourself. And you know what? People don't realize it, but that's biblical too.
How so?
Okay. So when the Bible tells you, it says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. It says, these are two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, I love God. Well, yeah, he said love your neighbor. It's like, okay, I love my neighbor. He says, well, no, he said love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Hmm.
You can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. You can't love God like you should if you love yourself. Why? Because you will always be looking and craving for the voices of love that to come to you externally rather than understanding the love that you have and resting in the love that you have internally.
Well, I argue if your neighbor's playing music at like 4 in the morning, you may not be able to love your neighbor at all. But that's a whole different story.
Steve, yes, you are so right. You can love them, you just might not like them.
All right,
and that happens in marriages too. So,
so you meet someone, and the mm-hmm. pheromones are working. It's what great-great-great-grandma used to call, mm-hmm. and the sparks are flying, right? And
see?
You get that feeling, and then physical things happen in your head, serotonin and dopamine and other neurochemicals. But I mm-hmm. suspect that doesn't last forever. How can you make love and romance last forever, if even you can?
You really can, actually. It may not happen to the same level of new excitement, but this is the thing. After you're absolutely correct. In like 3 to 6 months, those chemicals wear off. I say, oh, you were on drugs, okay? And then you see your partner for real. After you see your partner for real, love has to turn from something that was emotional to a conscious decision. And the conscious decision is that I am going to continue to nurture this and love this and make sure that I act on it to keep it alive. Some of the things, it could be natural chemicals that you on purpose release. You just mentioned those chemicals that like oxytocin, the
right.
bonding chemical, the trust, the pleasure. When you began to when a woman has the estrogen in her is released through the support of a man, her man rather, the support, the nurturing, the bath, the hot bath, the therapy, the things like that. A man's testosterone increases through him feeling like he's done well, through respect, through him feeling that he has conquered and done well. So you can be very intentional of not just nurturing it within yourself, but within your partner. So the more I respect that man, the more I compliment him rather than find flaws in him, the less I criticize him and encourage him, the more I will see him rise up with the testosterone level that I need. The more you nurture and cater to that woman, the more she will release the estrogen and not show up like your equal male that maybe you're not attracted to, if you're not attracted to that. You understand what I'm saying? So we can do it in ourselves. We can nurture the estrogen levels of ourselves. We can nurture the testosterone levels in ourselves. We can release the oxytocin in ourselves and the serotonin in ourselves. And then we can go out and maintain that for our partners. So, yes, and that requires dating. That requires intentionality. That requires how your outlook. It requires so many things. But like anything, it can be maintained, and a car can be maintained. It may not be a brand new smell on the car, but it can be maintained and ride for a long time.
This is the Queen of Love, and she is Love McPherson. If you have a question, you could text or call 312-981-7200. I mean, what I was getting at is, yeah, there's mm-hmm. this oxytocin rush and all of these other neurochemicals in our heads that happen when we are in love. So to some degree, it is physical, but to have mm-hmm. it last, or does it need to? Is a puppy work for some people to get at least, it's a different kind of rush, but we do know that petting a dog, some of those same neurochemicals happen. So
that's right.
Yeah. So does everyone need a partner?
I know what you're saying. I understand where you're going. You know, here's the thing. Let's face it. Not everyone needs intimate love. Not everyone needs that. And that's okay not to need that. However, we all need love. We can feel love from a dog. We can feel satisfied from a dog, because there are many people who are in intimate relationships that are not intimate at all. That are in marriages that are not intimate at all. And 60% of married couples have reported feeling lonely at times. And the reason why is because loneliness is not the absence of a person. It is the absence of feeling seen, heard, and understood. Sometimes it feels like that dog just gets you. Whether you say it or not, they'll know you're sick, or they'll know that you're on your way home before a block away. So, yes, you can get those oxytocin releases. And if you don't want to clean up after a dog, just go get a massage or exercise, you know, so you can still get those releases. However, when it comes to love of a person, whether it is your child, whether it is your friend, whether it is an intimate partner or a parent, there are things that you have to do to nurture it. And there's things you have to do to nurture the dog as well.
So you're headed exactly where I'm going here. You have met, I'm sure, many people. We all have met mm-hmm. some mm-hmm. who are married 50, 60 years, and they're happy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really they're still holding hands. How sweet. And they're both 96 years old. So what mm-hmm. what makes it work for those people that others may not have? Either others who have been married for a very long time but just don't have that intense bond anymore, or those who just don't make it past, forget about 50 years, 50 months.
Right. You know, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that can cause that. My husband and I, we have been married 41 years. My parents were married 60 years before
wow.
my mom passed. And so I do know about longevity, but a lot of people sit in my chair and they are cellmates and not soulmates. And a lot of things can happen. Let me tell you, give you a couple of examples that can make you, you know, what the old song, you're playing a lot of old songs, so it's cheaper to keep her, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's an old song. And sometimes it is cheaper to keep her because people say, you know what, we're roommates, but it works. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do my thing. You do your thing. Now, here's some of the extenuating circumstances that may cause that. One of the top ones that I found is resentment. Resentment is unmet expectations. I expected you to be this. You have been that. And you have not taken the time to change into what I wanted. Now, some of this resentment is built, and it's unfair because sometimes people have married the person they looked would become. They had projected who you would be, even though you had never agreed to be that. And so those projected outcomes for a person, the fantasy man, never existed. You never married that person, but then you try to shape them, and you're frustrated because they are not being formed in your image fast enough. And so that's a resentment can be that. Sometimes it is there has been an infidelity that has occurred, and somebody says, I'm going to stay here for the kids. They actually divorced you back when the child was 2 years old, and they stayed with you until you're 18. And that's why you see a lot of times people will say, the college students, my parents are getting divorced. They were divorced a long time ago. They were just living in a house trying to appease you because they thought you needed a mom and a dad in that situation. So there's a lot of disconnects that can happen, or you can just, connect on trauma, and somebody decides to heal, go to therapy, work on themselves, and you abandon the relationship by healing.
I love this text message, which says, I keep choosing the wrong type of person.
Yeah, that is a very common thing, because what happens is when we learn how to have relationships by how our parents had relationships with each other and how they had relationships with us. So what ends up happening, there becomes certain types of relationships become normalized until you intentionally decide what you want. So what happens is this. If you have skills for somebody who is emotionally unavailable because your dad or your mom was emotionally unavailable, you've mastered the skills of either people-pleasing or trying to get their attention or performance-based or retreating or acting like your needs don't matter. And so when you somebody else comes into your life and they do the same thing, it's so familiar until even though you don't want it, you will attach yourself to it because you know how to handle it. And then it will hurt you just once again. You'll begin to feel the past pain that you felt in your childhood, and then you'll try to run, or you'll use the same coping skills first, and then pretty soon it'll probably, you'll feel separate from it. So what you have to do is go back. First of all, understand what's inside of your amygdala that's just sitting there waiting to act out on autopilot. The amygdala part of your brain, which is going to drive you towards certain people. Go back and see what it was and start connecting the dots. What is that person you are attracted to? Describe that person. And then go back to your childhood and say, does that remind me of somebody else I know? Chances are great it will. Then you have to make a conscious decision. I will not go back to what I'm used to. I'm going to try something new. Now, let me tell you something. That's easier said than done, because a lot of times people fear the unknown. They fear going into a relationship where they don't have the skills to maneuver. And so you have to stop and say, I'm going to develop the skills. I'm going to have the courage, because love takes courage. Love takes moving forward. Love takes putting some things behind, and it has to be a conscious movement and a conscious decision.
Is it really marriage or a relationship with when you're living with someone? Is it really a 50-50 partnership? I mean, I've read that, but apparently not. No.
Well, let me tell you something. Whoever told you that, just say, you lie. You lie. And let me tell you something. It goes up and down. It really does at different times of your life. It was kind of 50-50. My husband and I, we waited 5 years to have kids. Sort of 50-50. Maybe whoever was making the most money sometimes and you know, was the busiest on their jobs and available, maybe they were doing 60-40. But when kids happened, it felt like 85-15, even though he was given all that he had. But he was working more in order to, we were very young, making sure, you know, things met, the bills were paid. Then somebody's parents, so when you're sandwiched during that age of parents are sick, kids are small, whoever is available is giving more. Whoever has the least amount to give is giving less. So it fluctuates up and down.
Are the couples who have more difficulty the couples who say, they're counting, they're keeping track, you know, this week or this month or this year or these past years, you've given much more than I have, that kind of thing?
No, when you understand that it's a team and some people will show up in the team at a higher level that for that particular game, and some people will just have a bad game, and but you realize, hey, we're going to continue to tackle it later on the next go-round. Once you give your partner grace to fail, grace to be less for this particular season, and all of those scenarios that I just gave you, you have to be conscious of, hey, I have small children I'm watching over here, and you're over at your parents' house taking care of them. You understand? Or you're at the hospital. There's grace that has to be given, because you can still feel like you're so busy taking care of them until you're not taking care of me. You're neglecting us while you're taking care of them. But there has to be some grace and understanding, some empathy. All of those traits have to happen in a relationship. And I'm going to tell you something. If you allow marriage to do its perfect work in you, it will grow your character. You will learn patience. You will learn grace. You will learn understanding.
Apparently that has happened. People call me a character all the time. Love McPherson. How do we find you? What is your website?
It is lovemcpherson.com. That's really simple. And everywhere on social media, you can follow me at love_McPherson on IG and Love McPherson on Facebook. So, yes, you just find me there.
Well, our listeners love you by the text that I am receiving.
Oh,
and I do, too.
And I love you, Steve, on WGN. Yes, I do.
You have to promise to come back with me again sometime.
I pinky promise.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but I guess that's good.
That's All right. A really good promise.
That's a good one. Love McPherson, thank you so much.